Blog Talk Radio.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast. Greetings, dear UFCCM affiliates, our friends and supporters of this ministry. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is Teacher Margaret Tindall extending a hearty welcome to all of you who are on your phones, on the UFCCM Facebook page, and at ufccm.org. We give honor this morning to our ecumenical patriarch, His Eminence Bishop Henry A. Tindall Sr., to the UFCCM Episcopal Board of Bishops, to all our national officials, clergy, affiliates, and all laity. Blessings to you all, and we pray that you all are well. This is a special day for UFCCM and the Ministry of Laity Training, as today's broadcast marks the beginning of our seventh year, praise be to God, coming to you by means of UFCCM Anointed Radio. And we are so excited about what God has done, what He is doing, and what He is going to do in the UFCCM and in the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training. Let us now prepare our hearts to go to the Lord in prayer. And our opening prayer this morning, today, will be from Deaconess Monica Zindler from the Bread of Life Cathedral of Hope in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, on the UFCCM Midwest jurisdiction. Bless you, Deaconess Monica.
Oh, thank you, Teacher Tindall. So I am coming to you from the chilly 1 degree Wisconsin with a warm prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all creation rightfully gives you thanks and praise. All glory and all honor belong to you. We humbly come, Father God, asking that you would send your Holy Spirit into our presence to open our ears to hear what you have to say to us, Lord God, to open our minds that we might understand what it is you are saying to us, O Lord, and to open our hearts, Father God, that we would follow through with what you say to us today. We wait with anxious anticipation for the word that will be brought forth today, because we know, Lord God, every time we have this laity training, we are well fed. There is no greater meal than the meal that comes before the saints through the word of God. And so, Lord God, we just are hungry and we are excited to receive. I pray that each and every person that takes the time to come before you and to sit and to listen would be individually blessed in the name and in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Sister Monica. Thank you for that beautiful prayer. And we know that our God sees us and he hears us and he does answer our prayers.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Our scripture for this morning, every month, before I do the broadcast, I always ask God to show me and lead me to a scripture. And this is where I was led this morning. Philippians chapter 4, and specifically verse 4, and then verses 6 through 8. And I am sharing this from the King James Version. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verses 6 through 8. Be careful about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is the word of the Lord. And as I was reading that, it just came to me that we need this word today with all that's going on in our world today and around us. We need to think on the things of God. We're encouraged today to meditate on these verses and apply them to our daily lives. Let's rejoice and think on these things. And let us continue to tune into these broadcasts to learn and understand more of God's word through these powerful teachings and lessons. This is not to say that we're not receiving powerful teachings and lessons in our ministries and from our bishops and from our pastors as they speak to us, but there's always more to learn and a greater understanding to be gained. And all of this is for the purpose of helping us to grow spiritually and to mature in Christ. And that is the purpose of these monthly broadcasts. And so we come to you faithfully each month and are continually seeking God's face through messages focused on his word. These are messages of hope, of encouragement, and inspiration, all of which are designed to build us up spiritually and to empower us in our Christian walk as we remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. We're honored, to have as our speaker for today Apostle Roderick Jenneret. Apostle Jenneret is an apostolic prophetic teacher and a much sought after evangelist whose messages of healing and deliverance transcends all ethnicities and denominational barriers. God has gifted him with an anointing that ministers to the spirit, to the soul, and the body with messages that are simple and yet filled with profound revelations. Apostle Jenneret is the senior leader of Next Generation Apostolic Network, which covers churches and para-ministries from New Jersey to Florida. He's a proud member of the All Nations Apostolic Network, which is headquartered in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, under the leadership of Apostle Melvin Thompson III. Apostle Jennerette is married to Pastor Atia Jennerette, and they and their beautiful blended family reside in Charlotte, North Carolina. We are so honored and so delighted that Pastor, that Apostle Jennerette has consented to come to us as our speaker today. And he will be speaking on the topic, Moving with an Attitude of Enthusiasm. And I'm trying to read that to say that with enthusiasm. So we're eager to hear what God has in store for us today to speak to our hearts. So without further preliminary, we bring to your hearing Apostle Roderick Jennerette.
Thank you so much, Teacher Tindall. I appreciate you so much. I want to say thank you to the EP in the person of Bishop Tindall and Mother Bishop Tindall. I just thank UFCCM for this opportunity to minister today. And without further ado, let us just jump right into this word. I'm excited about the opportunity. When I spoke with Bishop, EP Bishop, he was sharing how he started the year out with this particular text. And so I'm going to try to build upon that which he started. I'm quite sure other speakers have added some type of value as well. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. I'm going to read it first in the King James Version, and then I'm going to read it secondly in the New Living Translation. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The New Living Translation reads it this way. I love this interpretation. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. I'm going to read it one more time. So, my dear brothers and sisters, and immovable, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Here in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, we find the Apostle Paul writing this epistle in about 53-54 A.D. to the church at Corinth, and he's writing to bring clarity on the subject of the resurrection. Closes his letter by encouraging the saints to be resolved and diligent in their work to and for the Lord, because they know they shall be gloriously rewarded by him. While this epistle was written over 1,970,000 years ago, it is still relevant today. What do you mean, Apostle Jennerette? Listen up and I will show you. Let's go back to the text in the New Living Translation. He said, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and unmovable. I personally love this text because I believe it is the perfect and the mindset that it takes to accomplish anything great for the kingdom of God. When you are moving and you're doing a great work for the Lord, there is great opposition and there is great warfare. And the first thing that the enemy does is he always tries to attack your mental. He always tries to get you to have a mental or an emotional. emotional breakdown to make you want to quit the work. And here's just a couple examples. It'll be from someone that you least expect, or it'll be from someone that you supported, someone that you undergirded, someone that you lifted up, someone that you gave a hand to, somebody that you really love. David put it this way. He said, if it was an enemy, I could have borne it, but it was a friend. One, we took sweet counsel and we had sweet fellowship in the house of the Lord. So here, the text, the Apostle Paul encourages the church at Corinth. Number one, he says to be strong, immovable. The definition to the word strong means, watch this, mentally powerful or vigorous. Mentally powerful or vigorous. One of the first things you got to understand is the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so, you know, we grew up or we grow up in a culture where we want to live for God, but at the same time, we want to stay relevant to what's going on. We want to stay relevant to what's going on around us. We want to let people know, you know, I love Jesus, but I'm not soft. You know, I serve God, but I'm not going to let you get over on me. I love Jesus, but who do you think you're talking to? But before you know it, you understand, if we're not mentally strong, we will be pulled back into a carnal response. All right? And then the second thing, it says, be immovable. When you're doing a great work for the Lord, the enemy will attack so hard, he will come at you with so much force and so much opposition that the scripture says the kingdom suffers violence, but the violence taketh it by force. But you have to have a made-up mind that no matter what you're going through, you're not going to allow yourself to be moved. The force can come so strong, it'll make you want to throw in the towel. The force can come so strong, you'll say, you know, I love UFCCM. I love Mother Bishop, but I don't know how much longer I'm going to take this. I love what I'm doing for the Lord, but I'm telling you, sometimes the people that we're called to serve, the communities that we're called to serve in, even in the marketplace, somebody will try to frustrate us till it'll eventually break us down emotionally, cause us to have a nervous breakdown, or cause us to have the wrong attitude while we serve the Father. But I love what Ephesians 6 and 10 says, which goes along with our text here in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his great power. What kind of power, General? Luke 10:19 says this. Listen, I have given you power to tread, to walk on snakes and scorpions, and power that is greater than the enemy has, so nothing will hurt you. You got to get this mindset that I belong to God, and he's filled me with his Holy Spirit, and no matter what the enemy tries, it's not going to move me. You can lie on me, but it's not going to move me. You can steal from me, but it's not going to move me. You can backstab me, but it's not going to move me. You can backbite me, but it's not going to move me. You can mishandle, you can lie on my character, but it's not going to move me, because I'm strong in the Lord. In other words, I'm trusting in what God said. I believe what God said. And because I'm trusting what God said, and I believe what God said, I'm making up my mind that I'm going to be immovable. The second thing that he says, he says, always work. Always work. The enemy always, you hear me, saints of God, hear me, pastors, hear me, senior leaders. The enemy is always going to try to beat you up so bad, or to attack your work so hard that, you know, sometimes you're going to like, you know, I don't know, I'm going to take me a break. But that's not what the text says. The text says always work. Always work. I don't care who you are. I don't care what region of America you're in. You are called to do a great work. The Bible says not only will you do a great work, but it said, Jesus said, that greater work shall ye do, for the greater one lives inside you. You can conquer and you can always abound because the greater one lives in you. The greater one not only lives in you, but the greater one is for you. The greater one has called you to the work that you're called to. The greater one has purposed it for you. The greater one has called you to go to your destiny through doing the work in the earth realm for him. My God, if we were in a church, I'd tell you, high five your neighbor and say, I'm doing a great work. Yeah, I'm getting opposed because I'm doing a great work. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church, he knew that they would face opposition. Paul knew, Acts chapter 5, it says the apostles were flogged, they were whooped, they were beaten. You got to understand, when you're doing a great work for the Lord, the enemy is going to try to use anything he can to get you, to whoop you, to break you down, to get you to quit. But you must realize, come on, you got to have a Nehemiah in your spirit. He told Sambalat, we're doing a great work and we cannot come down. Yeah, I want to encourage you to always keep working. Always keep trusting. Always keep believing, because you got to have more faith in what the Lord started in you. It says he that began a good work is able to perform it to the day of his return. God is doing a great work in you, and you're going to continue to thrive. You're going to continue to ascend. You're going to continue to accomplish. You're going to continue to prevail, because you're making up your mind that you're always going to work. Oh, my goodness, here. And then he goes on to say the attitude. Somebody say the attitude about my work. He says the third thing he says is we must do it enthusiastically. We must do it enthusiastically. Now, that thing blessed my heart when I read the NLT version, because it says always abound. In NLT, it says enthusiastically abound. You have to always be excited. One thing I've learned, Bishop, if you're here, one thing I've learned, Mother Bishop, is that anytime I'm under attack, it is because I'm doing something good. You must remember, the enemy will never attack you if you're never doing anything good. He'll never try character. He'll never try to isolate you unless you're doing something good. And so you have to have a mind shift. You have to allow your mind to be changed. And it says the word enthusiastically means being full or characterized by enthusiasm. Well, what does enthusiasm mean, Generette? Glad you asked. Enthusiasm means any various forms of extreme Christ-like devotion. Boy, that definition blessed me. Any of various forms of extreme Christ-like devotion, watch this, associated with intense emotionalism and a break from normality. In other words, when we are attacked emotionally, a lot of times the normal thing to do is to quit or to pause or to stop. But we have to make up our mind that the Lord instructed me to always abound. And I always abound because I'm enthusiastic at my Christ, my extreme Christ devotion. I'm sold out to the cause. I'm not going to allow anything that you say or anything that anyone says or any attack of the enemy to cause me to stop. Oh, my goodness. We must always abound. We must always abound. Now, here it is. My fourth and final point, and I'm done. It says, you know that you do nothing I think we're pausing for a break. I believe I hear. We'll be right back.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
We're back, and my fourth and final point is this. He said, was for us. He says, you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing we do for God is ever useless. People, the attacks, of course, the enemy, the orchestrator of the attacks, will always try to make you feel useless, and he'll try to make you feel insignificant. But I want to encourage you that you stay enthusiastically challenged, and you don't allow the enemy to make you feel useless. You don't allow the enemy to make you feel that your work is not making a difference. I want you to know today that you are making a difference in the earth. You are transforming lives. There are people being touched. There are people being healed. There are people being delivered. And the one thing that I do, and I'm closing here, the one thing that I do is I always say, always keep my eye, I guess, as they said in our culture of America, I keep my eye on the prize. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark. Now, there is a mark that we get on Judgment Day when we go home to live with the Lord. But there is a mark in the earth realm called destiny. There is a mark in the earth realm called purpose. And so I'm pressing toward my purpose of making sure I do all that God called me to do. I'm pressing toward my destiny to make sure that I do everything that the Lord wants me to do. And so I stay focused when the enemy tries to come in and cast me down. I have a David moment, and I go to Psalms 121 and verses 1 through 3. He says, I will look to the hills, but where does my help come from? I will look to the hills, but I like this interpretation, but where does my help come from? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. Here it is. Who made heaven and earth, and he, I'm reading the New Century Version. Y'all got to get this. Get this in your spirit the next time the enemy tries to get you to stop abounding and moving enthusiastically. This is what it says. I will look to the hills, question, but where does my help come from? Answer, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven. And I love this next line here. He says, and he will not let you be defeated. Somebody, oh, God, you can continue to move enthusiastically because your help comes from the Lord, and he will not allow you to be defeated. You will not be, hear me prophetically. I don't know who I'm speaking to on this broadcast, but I came to tell you, you will not be defeated. You will, you will abound. Keep an enthusiastic attitude. You will abound because you will not be defeated. And he who guards you will never sleep. And he who guards you never sleeps. So you go on and relax. No matter what kind of opposition come, no matter what kind of frustration come, you can stay enthusiastic. No matter what they're saying about you, you can stay enthusiastic. You can keep moving enthusiastically. No matter how they try to mishandle you, the text says you will never be defeated, and he who guards you never sleeps. So take rest in that. Be encouraged today, and I pray these points have blessed your life. And now we're open for any questions or any whatever you need, whatever you want to talk about. I'm open. I'm here. Come on, Bishop Haywood, or whoever's going to facilitate the question.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Apostle Jennerette. Oh, my goodness. I'm so energized. I can hardly stay on my seat. What a powerful word that you, lesson and message that you have brought us now. I thank you for the invitation, and we're going to ask our listeners and let them know we're now opening up the lines for you to call in and join the conversation, to interact with Apostle Jennerette, to ask your questions, to share your comments, etc. So remember to call in. If you're listening by phone, you must press 1, and you need to call in on 347-850-1405. Press 1, and our dear Bishop Haywood, our program director, will bring you right in. All right?
All right. Well, it looks like we have a few that are already coming in with hands raised. Caller 920, go right ahead.
Blessings and greetings to everyone on this fine, fine day. This is Bishop-elect Beverly Haywood, the Shazer. And I just want to say that I'm so blessed to just hear that word on this morning, and so reminded even of the times that you feel like you can't make it, that you're reminded of the God that you serve. You know, and I think about the hills and looking to the hills from which cometh my help. And I thought on David that even those hills had a significant piece of memory for him as he hid in those hills. And he was protected by God, and God brought him out. And there are times we need to just be reminded what God has done before, he can do again. And to just be encouraged and know that you're not by yourself, and to know that we're out here, we're working, and God, who is overseeing in his hand on us and keeping us. So I thank God for that word on today, and it's something that the people of God need to continue to go on. And so to Apostle Jennerette, just so much appreciate you on this morning. Enjoy that powerful, powerful word, and certainly an encouragement to me.
Bless you, Bishop-elect. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing how you were inspired. Do we have other callers, Bishop Haywood?
Yes, we're going to go to, let's see here. Well, we have 443-415. Go right ahead. 443-415. Go right ahead.
Oh, praise the Lord. Bishop Haywood, can you all hear me?
Yes,
yes.
You can.
Oh, I just wanted to make certain. Truly, I honor the Lord this morning to our ecumenical patriarch and to our speaker, Apostle Roderick Jennerette, and to Teacher Tyndall, to Bishop Haywood. I'm telling you, we're sitting here and we're listened to this powerful, powerful, encouraging message that came forth from Apostle Jennerette. You know, I was laughing, but it was the laughter that the Spirit gives, because to hear those words of encouragement, and having listened so closely, but one thing that just stirred me so, that last verse of Scripture when he reminded us that it's not that we won't be defeated, or we kind of sorta won't be defeated, but the Scripture says emphatically, we will not be defeated. And, you know, that just stirred so, resonated so in my heart, because oftentimes, as the apostle was saying, the enemy comes. It doesn't matter to him how long you've been walking with the Lord and how many things you've done. He is always there to come to discourage you,
that's right,
to make you feel defeated, to make you feel that what you're doing is not worth anything. But he reminded us that anything that we do for God is useful. The enemy will try to make us feel that it's useless.
That's right.
But the Scripture let us know that it's useful. I'm telling you, I just want to say to Apostle Jennerette, to keep on preaching the word of God, such as that preaching, teaching is what I like to call it, because that's what we need to hear and to have in these last days so that we can be built up and encouraged with the word of God. There's so much more that I could say, but I'm not, because I'm sure there are others on the line. But I'm telling you, that was a powerful word that stirred my heart and just brought encouragement to me this morning. Now, our ecumenical patriarch, he's right over here, too, and he has a few words to say. God bless you, Bishop.
Thank you, Brother Bishop. While we're on the line, I would just like to take liberty and chime in, so to speak. I honor the Lord this morning, and to our guest speaker today, Apostle Deneret, to our precious Bishop Haywood, and Teacher Tyndall, and to all, of course, Mother Bishop, and all that are involved in this wonderful work of the Lord. I want to say that we really enjoyed, and not just enjoyed, you know, the Word of God is, it will bring enjoyment, because it is a joy listening to it, but more than enjoyed, I was blessed.
Yes, yes.
Amen. I was blessed. I have been made happy.
Yes.
Amen. By the things that we heard this morning, this afternoon, shall I say, in the word of the Lord. It is so wonderful to know that our work is not in vain.
In vain. Oh, God.
In the Lord. An apostle generate with a considerable moment encouraging us about that,
yes,
when he was talking about working for the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Our salvation has been a gift given to us, but our works will determine our reward. Mm. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the, and I love the way Apostle Generet brought that into its historical perspective.
Yes.
Even though it was over 1,000 years ago that the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church at Corinth, we are yet dealing with the same thing today.
Right. Yes.
And the way he pointed out that the admonition of God's anointed is just as relevant today as it was back then. There is work to be done. Pity the Christian who cannot understand that there's work to be done, because such a one needs to work on themselves. I just want to say, Apostle, continue to do this wonderful work of the Lord that God has appointed you and assigned you to do in this evening light hour. And for those of you that are listening and may not know, this powerful man of God is the husband of my pastor, Pastor Tia Generet, and he will be speaking in our annual conference.
Yes,
on a Thursday night of the annual conference. So you just got a taste tonight.
Amen.
But Lord have mercy, when we all get together in person in Charlotte, you better look out. Let me tell you, when you find a rabbit, you don't have to tell that rabbit to go north and then turn right and then turn west to get to his destination. He knows how to go straight.
Amen.
To his burrow. So when we get on his territory in Charlotte, Lord have mercy, you all may as well come prepared, because I know that God has a word that he's going to put in him for us in this conference. But back to the day. Amen. We wanted to know that we really enjoyed the word, and we encourage you to keep on preaching the word, the word of the Lord. One question for you, Apostle Generet, if you don't mind taking a moment expounding on that. You mentioned in the beginning of your message today how the Apostle Paul had to write to the Corinthian church concerning their hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And would you like to take just a moment and admonish us today about the fact that even though all this time has passed, that we are yet looking for Jesus Christ, because there are so many that are saying, well, all this time he haven't come, he ain't coming. Excuse the vernacular. Would you like to appreciate or expound on that for a moment?
For sure, EP. We just appreciate our ecumenical patriarch. Bishop, listen, it's true. even back then, that's what amazed me. We were talking about 53, 54, people were struggling and saying that there was no resurrection. And here we are, 1,970 years later, having that same issue. Is he coming back? The truth of the matter is, sir, he is going to return. You hear me? And he says in the text, but I don't want to get too far in it. He says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so even if we sleep, somebody say we're getting up and we're going with him. Come on. That's the reason we have to continue to work enthusiastically, continue to abound, because, yes, he was resurrected, and then he's going to rapture us so we can be a part of that resurrection. But here's the good thing, Mother Bishop. We not only are going to take place in the rapture resurrection, watch this, but we've already been resurrected from who we used to be. I ain't going to touch that. you understand? If we just take a moment, for we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, you hear me? And we did not love our life. We gave up who we used to be. We gave up what we used to do. So that we can replicate him and get people prepared for his return. Of that same argument back in Corinthians chapter 15, it is very, very, very prevalent today.
Yeah.
So we definitely, definitely, definitely want to continue to encourage people to receive Christ so that we'll rise again.
There you go. Yes.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle Jenneret. I didn't want to be too enthusiastic because I wanted everybody to hear what you were saying, but we thank God for the powerful message and the oh my goodness, I could go on and on, but I'm going to ask Bishop Haywood if there are others that have raised their hands.
Yes. Caller, you are 817. Yes, caller, you are 817-357. Go right ahead.
817-357.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, we can. And just for a little housekeeping, if you're listening on another device in the background, you will have to... Okay, go right ahead. Yes,
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you fine now.
Oh, great. Oh, good afternoon. This is Pastor Sherry Rice Atkinson. Greetings, everyone. I want to give honors first to our EP, our Mother Bishop, Teacher Tindall, Apostle Jenneret, Apostle Haywood, and everyone else that's on this line. I just want to thank God for such a great word, an authentic word. I'm always encouraged knowing that whatever I do for the Lord or we do for God is not useless. Because at times we can become discouraged because we look for results and we don't necessarily see them in the works that we're doing for God. But God still wants us to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in his work. We also, what I like is he talked about being diligent doing the work of God. We have to be diligent and consistent and just kind of steadfast, firmly planted, knowing that if God before us, he's more than the world against us. So I praise God for that. And also knowing that we're going to have great opposition, warfare especially. That's why we must stay prayed up. We must continue to fast and pray for the work of the Lord. And I just thank God for such a awesome and great on-time word. God bless you Apostle Jenneret, and all that God is doing in you and through you for the kingdom of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen.
You are so welcome. Hallelujah.
We do have a few other hands up. I want to take a quick opportunity, if you don't mind, Teacher Tyndall, just to pose a quick question to Apostle Jenneret. And again, please press 1 if you are desiring, as Teacher Tyndall always says, if you desire to have a, if you have a question or a comment, and then immediately press 1 again once you have exited. That way I won't bring you back on again because I see your hand still up. But Apostle Jenneret, you know, I do want to say, you know, it was quite a blessing to hear this particular teaching. And it was a teaching, as our EP said, and as our Mother Bishop said, on today. I think it's so important that leaders, you know, understand how important it is not to give up or bend and break under pressure. And sometimes even as leaders and, you know, as leaders of leaders, we have to encourage and instruct. So here's the question. In your message, how would you direct that pastor or that minister or that person who is over a ministry, irregardless of what they're going through, you know, not to switch up, not to go backwards in the midst of their adversity and understand, you know, that maybe it's not the voice of the Lord that is, because sometimes, you know, when we're buckling, you say, well, God is changing our environment and we need to go. And sometimes that is not the case, you know. So how would you instruct? So how would you instruct leaders in that area?
Number one, the first thing I would do is encourage them to go back and pray. You know, really, really, when pressure comes on, and I think it was the precious angel. I don't know. I think she was right before you, where when talk about when that opposition comes. It, if you don't cover your mind to, number one, prayer, listening to the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Word of God. You have to know that when it doesn't look like anything is happening, something is happening. You see, for we walk by faith. We got to continue to encourage people. Don't be moved by what you see. Watch this. Here it is, Bishop Haywood. Be moved by what you heard. God is not schizophrenic. If he put you there, he said, I am the Lord and I change not. A lot of times people change because their feelings get hurt. A lot of times people change because their circumstances seem to overweigh them or try to crush them. But the bottom line at the end of the day, Bishop, is we have to, that goes back to the day, remain steadfast. We have to hold on to what God says, regardless of how things look. I'm going to give you just a light scripture. Jesus said to the disciples before they got into the storm, his word to them was, let us cross over. He says to them, let us cross over. Well, because he believed in what he said, he believed in what he knew would take place, he got in the boat and went to sleep. All of a sudden, the boat starts rocking. All of a sudden, the waves are slamming up against the boat. Lightning's out on the water. And then the disciples or the apostles in the boat, they begin to panic. They begin to get into fear. Now, we heard the Lord say, we're going over. We heard him say it. But this storm don't look like we're going to make it. You feel me?
Yeah.
So and then when they wake him up, here's proof that they didn't believe what he said, because when they woke him up, they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You see, here you are. How in the world could you say to me, I don't care about you getting to the other side when I'm in this boat with you? How do you come to the mental conclusion that I don't care when we're here together in the storm? So he wakes up, and then he begins to rebuke the wind. He knew that he had power to rebuke the wind. A lot of times, Bishop Haywood, those leaders that are under leadership, they sometimes forget to exercise their spiritual power. They might try to exercise the position as a bishop or a overseer or a senior leader. You can't exercise, watch this, position when warfare is arising. You exercise authority, not my position, not my position, not my title. I don't exercise my title. I exercise my God-given authority.
Amen. Amen.
And that, as they say, is that.
Bishop Haywood and Apostle Jenneret, as you were speaking, I was just sitting here reflecting on the power of what you are stating. And it grieves me to know, and I know it grieves all of us to know, that the spirit of suicide among Christian leaders is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
We read about it. We hear about leaders, pastors, who in the face of opposition, or you talked about the enemy's mental attacks, who allow these things to not help them to rest upon their God-given authority, but to give in to foul spirits and even the spirit of suicide. And so this is such a powerful word, and it reminds me of something that you said that resonates with me, because to be real, there are times in this ministry, in this work, when I am discouraged. When, you know, things happen, people let you down, things don't go the way you want, all sorts of things. And I think if we're all honest and real and relate to ourselves, we have been there and done that. But two things that you said that encouraged me so much today is that the enemy never tries to attack you unless you are doing something good. Mm-hmm. And not to let those attacks disappoint or bother us, but to keep going. And as you were saying that today, I wrote down in my notes, that is my badge of honor. When the enemy is trying to attack me, my badge of honor says, praise be to God, I am doing something good for the Lord, and that nothing that I'm doing is useless. And give God the glory and the honor and the praise. You know, one of the things I used to do a lot when I was teaching stress management is the power of positive self-talk. We have to speak positive things to ourselves, even in the face of negativity. There are times in my house I look in the mirror and say, Margaret, you are beautiful. Now, I may not, some others may not think I am. Margaret, you are beautiful. You are wonderfully made. You are powerful. God is with you. The power of what we speak to ourselves and what we speak into our spirit resonates within me with this message that you brought, with an attitude of enthusiasm and an attitude that I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to give in. I am going to be steadfast, unmovable in the Lord.
Teacher Tindall, let me say this to you. This is so amazing. You have no idea why the Holy Spirit had you to read the scripture today. Philippians 4, verse 8. Brothers and sisters, I'm reading New Century Version. Think about the things which are good and worthy of praise.
Yes.
The enemy, one of the reasons the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, but because he understood the greatest attack the enemy can have is on your mind.
Amen.
If he can wear you down emotionally. That's why he wrote to the church of Ephesus, put on the helmet of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize the helmet of salvation is a daily thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter, oh God, what is it? I can't call the scripture, but Paul said it this way. He says, I die daily.
Mm-hmm.
You die daily by constantly reminding yourself of what the Word of God says about you. Think
yeah.
on things praiseworthy.
Yeah.
Think
yeah.
about the things that are and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. The enemy's job is to try to get us to think on everything that's not wonderful, that's not great. You know, it's the optimist versus the pessimist.
Amen.
You can see the cup half full, or you can see it half empty. It's about perspective. If you see it half empty, like, Lord, we got a long way to go. But if you see it half full, oh, we almost there.
So, amen. Praise God.
That was the Holy Spirit that had you to read it. I have been saying that to the people. You're right. If we don't think on good things, the enemy will beat us up emotionally. And watch this. As I said, that scripture, I think it was with David. He said, it wasn't my enemy. It was my own friend. We took sweet counsel.
Yeah.
It's close people to you. It's siblings you grow up with. It's brothers, sisters, first cousins. It's people we thought were really our friends.
Yeah.
And so the enemy will use them because they're not girding their loins with truth. They're not putting on the helmet of salvation. Every day we must read the word of God. David said, I meditate 3 times, morning, noon, and night.
Yes.
And we might, Teacher Kendall, we might get a reading maybe once a day. I don't know about morning, noon, and night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that important.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I just love this, Apostle. I could just listen all day, but we just thank God. And as I said earlier, my spirit is just so elevated and filled with enthusiasm. And I am so encouraged to continue on and to wear my badge of honor and to know that when the enemy is, when these attacks come, I'm going to strut and say, this is my badge of honor, because I know that nothing that I'm doing for God is useless, and I am doing something good for the Lord. Amen. Bishop Haywood, do we have any other hands raised?
Yes, we do. And what I'm going to ask real quick is I'm going to call out area code and then the first 3 prefixes of your number to bring you in now. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to call out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you've already been on, please press 1 on your phone again and release your hand. Otherwise, I'll be bringing you back in. So 817-357, if you've already been on, please press 1. 920-819, if you've already been on, please press 1 so that I don't call you back in. 781-568, you can leave 1 press if you have not been on. 803.
They haven't been on.
Okay, 803-487 and 443-415. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them in one by one. You know, a lot of times there's a lot on here, and all these numbers, just like when you go to neighbors, they all start looking the same unless you write it down. All right. So 815-357, go right ahead. Thank you so much for being with us today.
817. She's already been on, Bishop Haywood.
All right, well. All
but
right.
You had
and,
781-568. They haven't been on.
All right. 781-568. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we
yes.
can.
Okay. First, I give honor to God and to all the honorees. I don't know everybody's name, so I won't say everybody's name. So all those were honors due. I especially give honor to my apostle, Pastor Jennerette, which is my leader. I feel encouraged this morning. You know, I'm out of state right now in the West Coast visiting my daughter, but it's good to hear your voice this morning expounding on the word. I feel encouraged this morning. It reminds me of the scripture where they talk about if I'm just a doorkeeper in the house of God, just take that and be honored to be doing that. So I feel encouraged to this morning from your word. But I have a question this morning. I know leaders, I know leaders need people to talk to. They really do. And because so when the lady says something about the minister says something about suicide, there are a lot of leaders that are having that issue because they don't connect. You have to connect with your brothers and sisters in the Lord that you know are in that have been through what you've been through. But as regular people that listen to words like this and all the preachers that's on here that's speaking the kind of word that my apostle spoke this morning and every day, not just this morning, how do you get them to know that listen to this kind of word that they can be healed?
Wow,
it's like they don't. How do you get encourage them to be healed? They gotta want to be healed.
That's a great word, Lisa. One of the things that I do is I do my best. Watch this, everyone. I do my best to approach people, right? Not so much in a way of the word of God initially. I'm always coming. My motive is always to get people to God, but my methodology is to first connect with them where they are.
Exactly.
You know, you have to become a safe place, and you have to build a place of trust. A lot of leaders trusted people, and they may testify about it or they may not. A lot of leaders trusted people, you know, shared their deepest secrets or shared their proclivities or idiosyncrasies, and people exposed them. Not while they were good, the minute they got mad. So now they're like, who can I really watch this? Who can I open up to? And who can I be vulnerable with? So I try to meet people where they are. And I like to use the term a no-judgment zone. When I come in and I hear people or I try to connect, I'm talking about leaders, no matter what they're doing. I've had all kind of leaders confide in me about their private life. You hear me? And, they were beasts in the pulpit, but in private, oh, Lord, there was no sanctification. There was no purity. There was no holiness. You hear me? But I didn't judge them when they shared. I just let them share. Until I got close enough that I thought I had enough influence to begin to redirect them back to sanctification and holiness.
Amen.
One of the things we try to do is we want to jump in people's lives, including leaders, and correct them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Without first respecting them. People, when they know you respect them, they'll let you correct them.
That's right. Amen.
That's true. I've been a lockbox for a lot of leaders, and I thank God for it that I'm in that position to do that, even to this day. And I've grown a lot through under my leadership of Apostle Jennerette for the second time. But how do you help those that are not leaders, members that are receiving all of this good word? I mean, they could have been in church for 10, 12 years. How do you help them to understand until, first of all, they got to forgive themselves and then forgive the other people, and then they can be healed? How do you encourage them that they can be healed? Even when you tell them their story, they still hold on.
Because some people have been so wounded, so scarred, and so broken. I'm going to go to a Christian psychologist. His name is John Townsend. And one of the things, no, Henry Cloud, I think it's Henry Cloud. One of the things he says is that people, watch this terminology, Lisa, they hide from love. Because when they try to trust what they thought love was, love exposed them. So if I keep my crutch, right? And a lot of people think that they can protect themselves. Here's the one thing, the one revelation, everybody on this broadcast, get this. The one revelation that God is dropping in my spirit and I'm resting in it is that he's sovereign. He is the sovereign God. He's sovereign.
Amen.
And with him being sovereign, no matter how it turned, if sovereign is for me, if sovereign has me, then I am good to go. If sovereign has me, if sovereign is for me, I am good to go. You feel me? And so that's what I lean on. I lean on, and they have to learn to trust sovereign. They don't trust them. They have more trust in fixing it for themselves. They have more trust in protecting it for themselves. They have more trust than causing it to be what it needs to be for them. And so it's a struggle. They struggle. Their trust muscle is so broken that they hide. And so, and they feel like the best person that can protect them is them. Their favorite line is, woe is me. And so, again, all you can do, Lisa, is become their intercessor and pray enemy releases their mind. Whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Ramp up your discernment and see what you see. Okay, I see this person is struggling with deep hurt. So you go into intercession and begin to bind the deep hurt. This person is struggling, you know, with a possibility of suicide. See, that's why our discernment has to be at an all-time high so we can pick up and discern what's around us and what they won't talk about. We'll go ahead. The Bible says, and the Spirit will give us groanings which cannot be uttered with men's words. The Holy Spirit will let you know what's going on.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
So I'm sorry to hang up, but because I'm not a leader and God does give me this stuff, what do I do?
I'm going to give you this, and we're going to talk later. At least you want to know what I just heard the Holy Spirit say. As much as you think you're not a leader, you're fivefold. And fivefold, people better get it. We better get this in the body of Christ. You are fivefold, woman of God. And I'm saying that, and I mean it in this vein right here. And he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and evangelists, children of the body. Stop looking at yourself as you don't have a leader's title, but you are a kingdom leader because you are one of the fivefold gifts to the body of Christ. And you have a mighty strong prophetic anointing. That's how you're picking it up. So you look at yourself as, well, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a bishop. I'm not an overseer. I'm not an elder. But you are prophetic. And so while you're prophetic, because you don't have a title, that don't mean you're not anointed. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke, not the title.
Amen. Amen. That is so powerful, Apostle. And Sister Lisa, we thank you for calling in with your questions, and I know you have a direct pipeline to Apostle Jennerette, and so I'm sure that you and he will have many more discussions along these lines because he has such powerful anointing and teaching to answer the questions that you shared today. So we thank you for calling in. Blessings to you.
Caller, you're 803-487. Go right ahead.
Greetings and blessings to all. This is Pastor Tia Jennerette. protocol has already been established, and we certainly do esteem our EP and our Mother Bishop today, and certainly last but not least to my wonderful husband that is the presenter and the speaker on today. Got so much out of the Word of God today, just as I always do every day that we are together. And you know, any time that you're in transition, all you can relate to is where you're from. Apostle, can you share or delve a little bit into how when a person is in transition and, you know, all they can do is relate to where they're from, how is it that one's attitude when they're in transition can interrupt their enthusiasm?
Oh wow! y'all, can I have just a love moment with my beautiful wife? I love you, sweetie. You would do that, wouldn't you? I love you, girl. Anyway, I love you. Yeah, okay.
I love you.
Thank you, Bishop Haywood. Number one, the thing that interrupts it, Pastor Jennerette, is watch this. Y'all ready for this? Is the temperance. Yeah, temperance and a broken trust muscle, woman of God. Temperance and a broken trust muscle. You view it. And when you've been wounded a lot, when you've been scarred a lot, watch this. You've been wounded, you've been scarred, and you hide it. We're going back to hiding again. And you get so good, and this is another reason discernment has to be at an all-time high, because people are very good at masking pain. You know, back in the day when women, you know, today, they'll shoot you or hit you with a frying pan or something. But a lot of times back in the day, women would get beat, and they would learn to hide it through putting makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
And so now let's move today. A lot of people, again, beautiful wife, they hide and they mask all the pain and they act like they got it together. Now, that comes from a spirit of pride. I can't let nobody know how wounded I am. I can't let nobody know how scarred I am. I can't let anyone know how broken I am. And because you won't let nobody know, it does interrupt connection. The attitude is, I don't believe anybody can help me because everybody I've tried has let me down. I don't believe there's anybody out there I can really believe in because everybody I believed in some type of way let me down. So the attitude is, I'm smiling, I'm waving, I'm speaking, but I ain't trusting nobody. And the sad part is, it's a silent I ain't trust. They don't say it out loud. They keep that to themselves. I'm not trusting a soul. How you doing? Praise the Lord. How you doing? Oh, God bless you. You want to buy me? Sure, let's see. You try to get them to open up, it's not going to happen. They'll either deflect or they'll keep changing the subject. And when you're not transparent and when you're not vulnerable, it interrupts connectivity.
Well, I thank you for that, man of God. I really and truly do. I was in a place of transition. And so in my transition, that's all I could relate to is where I was coming from. But
oh, wow.
I thank God that he allowed me to take a chance in my transition. And when I took a chance in my transition, that chance led me to you. I love you.
Oh, I love you back, girl.
I'm the strong one. I'm not nervous. I'm as trust as the crust of the earth is. I move mountains. I move churches. And I grow because I know what my worth is. All
yes.
Right, I'm sorry. That was Encanto.
That's okay.
That
but thank you, Pastor Jennerette, for calling in with those insightful questions. We're learning so much today, aren't we, listeners?
Yes, we are. Callers, let's see. We have one more caller as well. Caller 920-819, go right ahead.
Hello, this is Deacon Zindler. I am a school psychologist in a secular school of 2,000 students. And this is my last year. I'm going to be retiring in January at the ripe age of 68. Anyway, I had a meeting the other day, and I had a girl who was questioning her identity, a father who's in a gay relationship, and we're supposed to be using pronouns appropriate and whatever. So I tried to avoid pronouns by just, you know, saying the name of the person. But as I'm in this meeting via Zoom, I'm looking around and I'm thinking, I am done. I am done. And your word today reminded me, I am not done. I am not done. I have one more year to go. And God has planted me here for a reason. And I just am really encouraged and challenged by this word because I am attacked. There is, you know, one of our principals had triple bypass surgery, and the head principal said, keep him in your thoughts and whatever. A year ago, he would have said thoughts and prayers. but now it's become thoughts and whatever.
Wow.
Christmas has
wow.
become happy holidays. He said, I'm so glad I caught myself. I was going to say Merry Christmas, and instead I said Happy Holidays. Mm. And I've been challenging our school. We're doing this equity thing, and it really always gets onto the LGBTQ movement because people are not comfortable. They are afraid to talk about the issue of race that does exist. Mm-hmm. And they're more comfortable with talking about LGBTQIA now, I guess. And so I just really, this is my last year. I think the attack is going to be immense because I am setting myself as immovable, and I feel like God is just going to do a work through me. I don't know who I'm going to touch, and it really, you know, that's God. You know, God's word. There are times when I break all the rules and I pray with kids. There are times when I break all the rules and I tell someone, no, you are not gay. You have a best friend. And, you know, kids are so screwed up by this movement. They are so screwed up. And I talked to a girl and she said, my mom says, I'm going to change back. And I said, well, you know what? I agree with your mother. I don't think you are gay. And a month or two later, she called me and she says, well, I'm going to this dance with this guy. And she, when she talked
wow.
about her girlfriend, she said, we aren't doing anything. We're just really good friends. We used to have sisterhood without fear that people are going to call us gay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if
wow.
you're best friends and you're two females, they right away want to put a label on you and make it sexual. We are defining this generation by sex.
Amen.
Instead
yeah.
of, as
yeah.
Martin Luther
yeah.
King said, by their character. Character
yeah.
is out the window. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm preaching. I'm sorry. I didn't mean, I loved your word. Thank you so
spared,
much. You
spared,
have really.
There is nothing wrong. You are spared, woman of God.
So, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'll just encourage her real fast.
Please do, Apostle.
Great woman of God, let me share this with you. It's called Marketplace Ministry. You are in the marketplace. We still have an assignment. Where, you know, the old adage is bloom where you're planted. You are put there to be a difference maker. And everybody on this particular broadcast, let's really lift her up. I'm going to share with my personal intercessors for you that they would lift you up because you have a task at hand. You have a task at hand.
Yeah.
If you get an opportunity, Google Sophia Ruffin, Ambassador Sophia Ruffin. She used to be a lesbian, and now she's changed. She's given her life to Christ, and she has a fiance. So let people know, normally people that come out of the lifestyle, they would be better witnesses to go back in and get the others out. But you, ma'am, are a bridge. Oh, God, I hear the Holy Spirit. You are a bridge to help facilitate change and transformation in the lives of those that are there. You're here to bring things back, watch this, not to the norm of today, but to the norm that was. When two women could go out and there was nothing wrong. When two men could go out and there's nothing, you know, other than platonic love, brotherly love, or sisterly love, not brotherly or sisterly, less for one another. So the Lord is using you in that. Continue, continue. We'll lift you up because God knows they're coming after these babies.
Yes, they are.
Go ahead, Teacher Tindall. I'm done.
We're just so grateful for the message. And Apostle Jennerette, you reminded me of something that Jesus talked about that, as we witness, some of us will plant and others will come
in
and sow. And then sometimes we sow and somebody else, you know, will reap the benefit. So we must continue to do what we can, because nothing that we do for the Lord is wasted and is useless.
Come on.
Amen. You know, we could just get on here and just teach and remark all day. This is just blowing me away. But I am so grateful for you, Apostle Jennerette, for the wonderful teaching, the word that you have brought. You have filled us today. And for all those who called in, and I am going to impose upon your good graces and say to you that I do hope that we will be able to have you come on again.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Because
whenever,
there is so much.
I am so open whenever you, Teacher Tindu, EP, Mother Bishop, whoever. I am so open to just do whatever I can. Number one, more than anything, to support my wife. That's
yes.
Number one. And,
yes.
And because she's connected, I'm connected. Because
amen.
She wants to grow, I'm willing to listen. That's my first ministry.
Amen. That's right. Amen. We appreciate you, Apostle. And I was just thinking, you know, one of the things that has, and I haven't talked to our EP about this, and I don't know if he'll give me permission, but I want to talk to him about it. Has been pressing on me recently to offer some laity seminars, you know, mm-hmm. over the radio or either over Zoom. And I'm just thinking you would be such a wonderful seminar leader to share, because there's so many concerns that and issues that we in the body of Christ face, because first of all, we're human.
Yes.
We're human.
Yes.
And, you know, I say when I go through something, to be honest with you, my humanity kicks in first, but by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit that resides in me, he moves in and takes over. But we're human first and foremost.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
ma'am. And so we just thank God and hope that we will have some opportunities for you to share more so that we can grow spiritually as well as in our daily walk. So, again, we thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us today. This has been a true blessing for us.
Yes, ma'am. To God be glory. It's my honor. It was my privilege. I was honored, humbled. I really appreciate you, Teacher Tindall, and for thinking of me, and EP and Mother Bishop. I'm just humble and I'm grateful.
Amen.
I really am.
We thank you and we love you dearly. And I want to say to our listeners, I do have a few announcements that I would like to share with you very quickly before we sign off today. First of all, I'd like to remind you that today's broadcast is momentous, not only for the lesson that we have heard and what has been fed into our spirit today, but it begins our seventh year of this broadcast. We have been on the air starting 7 years today, and our EP has given us permission to use this month as a time of fundraising to support this ministry. You know, we never have been about raising money or asking for funds or anything. And we know that we all have other obligations right now, especially as we're preparing for our conference, our license renewals, and our official day for our EP and all the other personal obligations that we have. But we're asking you, our listeners, if you have been blessed and benefited by this broadcast, to please prayerfully consider making a donation to support the UFCCM Laity Outreach Broadcast Ministry. If you will go to the UFCCM website, our dear Bishop Haywood has set it up so it's so easy for you to contribute. He has a list. If you click on the link, there's a whole list where you can click on how much you want to give. And bless his heart, he has set it up so that you can give as little as $10. Or you can give up to $500 if you want to give. And that's what I call moving out in faith, because we never know how God will touch listeners and people that come onto our website and so forth. So we're asking you to please make a donation in this fundraiser for this UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training. And we're going to leave it at that and trust God that he will touch each of you according to his will, and you, that you will obey his leading. Second thing I want you to know is that our next broadcast will be on Saturday, April 9th, and our speaker will be Deaconess Victoria, or Vicki Kibler, from Bread of Life Cathedral of Hope in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Deaconess Kibler has been with the USCCM almost from its very, very beginning, and this is going to be our first opportunity to have her share with us, and we're looking forward to receiving what God will place on her heart. So please, please make it your business to tune in on Saturday, April 9th. Also, keep in mind our annual conference dates, June 22nd through 24th, here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And our excitement is off the chain because this will be the first time that we will be in person since 2019. So we are so excited. And you can go to the UFCCM website for registration information and hotel reservations and other pertinent information that you will need. Also, our 24-hour prayer meeting for the month of March, our Ecumenical Patriarch and Mother Bishop work with the prayer coordinators on each jurisdiction, and I know that you will be receiving information soon for that. And I want to give special thanks to our Ecumenical Patriarch, Bishop Henry Tindall Sr., and the USCCM Episcopal Board of Bishops for their ongoing support of this ministry of laity training, and to our very own dear Bishop Haywood. Words cannot express our gratitude to Bishop Haywood for all that he has done over these past 6, going on 7 years, how he supports this ministry, and I won't even tell you the things that he does to make sure that he is ready, able to get us connected every month for our broadcast. We just appreciate you, love you, and thank you so much, Bishop Haywood. And to every one of you, our listeners and friends of the UFCCM who listen in every month and participate, we thank God for each and every one of you. And I'm going to ask Bishop Haywood if he would give us our closing prayer, but I want to let you know that if you want to know more about the UFCCM, or if you have questions about the broadcast or desire more information, or just want to let us know how you've been blessed and your testimonials or your questions, please feel free to contact me directly at teachertindall@ufccm.org. We would love to hear from you. So at this point, Bishop Haywood, will you give us our closing prayer?
Blessings to you, Teacher Tindall and Apostle Jenneret. We just have a few minutes, and let us just go to the throne of grace. This has been a very rich day in terms of what God has done and how he has led us on today. And I think, you know, we, as we leave and prepare our hearts for service on tomorrow, and leaders all over everywhere, whether you're listening to us now live or by archive, please hold the UFCCM up in prayer, and as well as keep yourself steadfast and immovable. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you are yet going to do. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we ask, God, that you would continue to move and bless this work. Bless, Lord God, the speaker and our EP and the UFCCM and all that are listening. And we bind the enemy that comes to hinder, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We stand against him right now in the holy, mighty, and matchless name of Jesus. And in this we ask, and all that agree says, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. God bless you all.
God bless you all. Until next time, be blessed.
Amen.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the 4 UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the 4 UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.